The title of this lecture is called The Power of Blessings, and I want to encourage you to really give me your full attention so that you can understand these subjects. There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, which we will read in a moment, which alerts us of the necessity, we say in English, to give respect. When we learn to give respect to superiors, we can obtain from them a very precious gift, which is otherwise unobtainable. When we learn to give proper respect to superiors, and who these superiors are, we will learn in a moment, we can get from them blessings. And by the power of their blessings, impossible things, which we could not even imagine of doing, all of a sudden do become possible. There's a shloka which says, Mukham karoti vachalam pangum langayate kiram yat kripatam ahang vande shri gurum dinataranam. Sometimes the last line is also paramamadava. And the last word, which is at the moment not available to my recollection, it is saying that even by the blessings of the spiritual master, even someone who is blind can see the stars in the sky. By those blessings, even someone who is lame can climb across a mountain. And by the blessings of the spiritual master, even a great fool who may be unable to speak coherently is able to express himself in very succinct ways. Blessings make the impossible possible. That's the point. Now, to obtain blessings, you need to know about how blessings flow. Just like water, which always flows from a higher altitude to a lower, blessings will only come to you if you voluntarily take on a lower position. Let us say I'm thirsty. And I put the cup here and the thermos here. I will never be able to obtain water. Only when I change the position, the thermos has to be slightly higher and the cup slightly lower. See what is happening? The water is flowing. Because water always flows from a higher position to a lower position, not vice versa. In the same way, if you want to learn to obtain blessings in your life, you have to know how to give respect properly. This is not always easy. And therefore, Lord Krishna speaks about this as an austerity. Tapa uchate, an austerity of the body. Shariram tapa uchate. Let us hear Lord Krishna's immortal words, please.
Devadvija guru prakya Pujanam shochamachavam brahmacharyam ahimsa cha Shariram tapa uchyate.
Austerity of the body consists in worship of the Supreme Lord, the Brahmanas, the spiritual master, and superiors like the father and the mother. And then Srila Prabhupada explains on this point, one should offer or learn to offer respect to God or to the demigods, the perfect qualified brahmanas, and the spiritual master and superiors, like father, mother, or any person who is conversant with Vedic knowledge. These should be given proper respect. You can read the entire text in the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text 14. So, do you know that the whole process of the Vedic culture is a process whereby you learn to give proper respect, what that is, we will hear in a moment, and receive blessings. Do you know, my dear devotees, that Srila Prabhupada attributed his entire success in spreading Krishna consciousness to the blessings of his own spiritual master? It is very, very, let me say in a word from German language, es springt einem direkt in die Augen. Oh, Krishna, you do not understand very well. It jumps into your eyes. It's so... It jumps into your ears. Oops. That whenever Prabhupada was lauded or praised in public, he said, I have not done anything. If there is any credit to me, to my person, it is because I simply followed the orders of my spiritual master. It's all his credit. It's his blessings, he would say. So in the Vedic culture, it was learned that one would offer respect to different people due to different reasons. First of all, respect was offered Naramatir Mayada, because someone has attained the human form of life. These are worthy of respect now. You know there are 8 million forms of non-human life, and this person has obtained the human form of life. Let us offer him some respect for this. Let us go a little higher. The next reason to offer, a higher reason to offer more respect, this is minimal respect. Now we will increase the respect. Satgata matir mayada. It is because a person has culture. Don't we do this immediately when we see a person has culture, he's a cultured living entity, we immediately offer respect. The next higher position is because of a position. For instance, the king. He is offered respect. I believe if a king comes here, we do feel, let us offer him some respect. We will not just sit him down on the cold marble floor. We will make at least a cushion ready for him. Or even amongst the animals, we offer respect to the king of the animals, who is the lion. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada once went with his disciples to the zoo in Bhubaneswara. And there was a lion cage with wild lions inside. And one disciple started to tease the lions to awaken them for some action. Prabhupada forbade him. He said, don't do this. After all, he is the lion. He has a position. King of the animals. We should not act towards him like we do towards an ordinary street urchin. We should have some respect. Haya is a person who has Satguna Maryada. We offer him respect because he has good qualities. For instance, if we see a Brahmana who is imbibing Brahminical principles like our Nishingananda. I have seen your sacred thread, and therefore, but before that I have seen your good quality in the question and answer tent in the Durban Ratha Yatra. Or we see a sannyasi entering with the danda. Immediately more respect is given because of his very good qualities. Yes. Then Vana Matiya Mayada, we offer someone respect because of his vana. This refers to the social positions. Then we offer respect due to the ashram. Grihastha, a good person who lives in exemplary brahmachari ashram. Immediately we offer him respect, or who is living a good exemplary grihastha ashram life. Oh, we offer respect. But finally, the one on the highest list is Bhakti Matir Mayada, because he has a mood of bhakti in his heart. Oh, we feel, Prabhu, please, I'm your servant. You have bhakti. I know bhakti can only be, what is bhakti? Bhakti is love for God, love for Krishna. Bhakti can only arise in a person when he gets blessings from a bhakta. So we immediately give more respect. See, in the Vedic culture, there are always two types of considerations. Lokika and alokika. Lokika means social, and alokika means transcendental, beyond the social realm. Social respect, like respect, Prabhupada says here, father and mother, must be offered, or teachers, because how will society go on if this respect is withheld? We will not be able to learn from the wisdom of elders if we don't respect them. No? Or a teacher whom we don't respect. How will we learn anything? I remember when I was in the Western culture, there was, before Krishna consciousness, we had a very rebellious group in our school. It was a boarding school for very rich people. And once, I remember we had a German teacher who taught German literature to us, but this rebellious group wrote down on a piece of paper, we don't respect you. You will find your coat in the pool of rainwater outside in the schoolyard. The teacher said, I don't feel encouraged to teach you today. How will society go on if the social respect on the social level is withheld? Everything will stop. So the Vedic scriptures teach us how to offer respects to, what is it, the perfect qualified brahmanas, the superiors like father, mother, or any person who is conversant with Vedic knowledge. Yes, but the ultimate purpose of Vedic understanding is to go back home, back to Godhead, and therefore we offer respect on this path to spiritually exalted people, even if according to their social position, they may not be so high. For instance, we respect also Western or sannyasis who are in Western, born in Western bodies. We don't think they are Westerners any longer. We understand, no, they have received the mercy of Lord Krishna. Let us respect them fully and learn from them, the brahmanas and so on. We learn this. It would be sectarian and ignorant to not do so. No? Even it is said, if a qualified person who knows a lot about Krishna comes from the sutra group, he is fit to become a spiritual master. Because ultimately, the Vedic culture places utmost value on the spiritual consideration, even above the social consideration. Now there is a reason why it is so difficult sometimes to offer respect. It is because of three types of blindness which come about by pride. We do not wish to bow down because we are often too proud, and this is a blindness. I do remember hearing a lecture, one of Srila Prabhupada's most early lectures in New York. He was sitting there, devotees were coming in and offering their obeisances, and there were also outsiders, first comers, who came into the temple. And one of this person saw how the devotees offered obeisances, and midway in the, and he was mental about it, critical about it, and the lecture had already proceeded halfway, but he was still so occupied that finally, towards the end, it burst out. I do not want to offer respect to anyone, he said. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada immediately interrupted his lecture with pleasure. You are forced, like every one of us is forced, to offer respect. Either you do this to God and his devotees, or material nature will force you to bow down to birth, old age, and finally death. You will be forced to bow down. Prabhupada had a way to make his point very clearly, unmistakably clear. It would explode even in the heart of the ignorant fool. Oops, I had overseen one important point in my life. Pride makes us so blind. Three types of, and we don't see this. We can, one type of blindness is janmanda. Manda, anda means blind. Huh? The first type of blindness is who thinks, I am so proud because I am born in Germany. Hare Krishna. This is not something special. mostly demons are born in Germany. Janmanda, we become proud and blind due to our birth. I am born in a Brahminical family of South India. They are all ayahs. Hare Krishna. Yes, very nice starting point. Why, but what have you done with your life so far? Janmanda. The next is, and I find this is most prominent, Kamanda. By one's activities, one is proud. Karma, I'm very rich, I have so much gold. Or as a boxer, I boxed, I won, Jack Dempsey is one white boxer. He, let me just remember this for you. I will remember it especially for Gaurahari. He won 64 times, and 56 of those victories were by knockout. Hare Krishna, Jack Dempsey. The name makes you frightened. He was very proud. I was by my kamanda, by my karma, karmic activities, I was extremely good. I was very muscular and I have knocked out everyone else, including Sonny Liston. Hare Krishna. So, this means to be proud of one's activities. And the next thing is just Madanda. It's the sum total. It means just the intense proud due to other things. Maybe there are people who count, in Guinness record books, there are crazy records of the longest fingernails. And Hare Krishna, I don't want to give too many examples. It makes the atmosphere down, huh? This all makes you blind. And a blind person cannot bow down. A blind person has not within his possession or in his heart the desire to bow down. We have reserved places for you. Please freely enter. There's still a lot of place for you. Hare Krishna, welcome. Thank you for coming. Is it enough space for you and all your friends? please come and sit with us. It is nicer if many sit together. The more atmosphere is created. So, especially in our Western culture, we are so much in a culture of pride. Lord Krishna, he says that Dambo Dharpa Bhimanascha, pride, arrogance, conceit, anger, harshness and ignorance, these qualities belong to those of demonic nature, O son of Prita. My dear devotees, pride is actually the first starting point of the demonic nature. It brings after it arrogance, then conceit. Conceit means you want to hide your weaknesses. I'm so good. Anger, harshness and ignorance. It brings really, pride has many brothers with which it marches into our psychology. And it brings just a demonic civilization around. Do you know about amongst school children in 1950s, the biggest crimes were chewing gum and sticking the gum under the school table. That is what I did before I joined Krishna consciousness. I hope, Damodar, you are not disappointed with me. And 1990, that's only 40 years later, the normal crimes amongst school children is guns, shooting, rapes, you know what this is, and all types of criminal activities. This means our society has become infiltrated by the culture of pride, which has then brought arrogance and anger, harshness and ignorance with it. I want to give you a glimpse into Western history. You know the Pilgrim Fathers? Pilgrim Fathers left England to found the United States of America. And they bought the land from the Red Indians for a little glass. They made their government independent from the English crown. And Thomas Jefferson, one of the first presidents, wrote to King George, "We believe it is self-evident that all men are created as equals." It sounds very good, but there is a serious discrepancy in this. We are not equals. There are people who know more, people who are brahmanas, people who are more saintly, people who are able to teach us, and so on. Of course, we should be equal in terms of rights to live. That is always there. The Lord says, "I am the seed-giving father of all creatures in the world." So everyone is a brother and a sister in terms of the Lord. They should live brotherly and sisterly and share the opulences of the world. But we are not equal. There are people we can learn to from, people we can bow down to. And we have heard an impressive list for what reasons we can do this. So the Western, this Thomas Jefferson, has certainly expressed something which is valuable, but because he did not know the whole scope of spiritual knowledge, he has only brought out a relative value. That means a value which is true in connection with a simple thing like no exploitation of others. But this, that we are equal, is no longer true when it comes to getting the power of blessings from superiors. It's therefore a relative truth, not an absolute truth. It's true under certain conditions only, not in all conditions. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said about the culture of pride, "From the wicked thought that I am the equal of the gurus and equals to the real Vaishnavas, the offense of disrespecting superiors gathereth strength. Only when we have respect to true Vaishnavas and true gurus, then grief, illusion and fear go far away. A person who has no respect in his heart to superiors will always be in grief, in illusion, and he will fear and he will lose the struggle of life." A good example in this connection is Karna. Before the battle of Kurukshetra, Shalva, a king who was friends to Maharaj Yudhishthira, had to promise Yudhishthira something. Yudhishthira said, there will be a time, Shalva, when Karna will face in a deadly fight my brother Arjuna, who's so dear to Lord Krishna. He will forget everything about Arjuna's glories, and he will try to kill him. Please, Shalva, you will be his chariot driver, the man who wants to murder his brother. You will be his chariot driver. Please discourage him in some ways before that deadly fight. I know when they fight, only one of the two will live, either Karna or Arjuna. But Arjuna is more qualified. He is dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Discourage Karna. In some ways, discourage Karna. I beg this of you. Sarvasema, Yudhishthira, Tatastu. When the battle starts between these two deadly enemies, I will discourage Karna, although I'm his chariot driver. The battle day came. Karna got into his armor. He equipped his chariot with many, many deadly weapons. He prepared himself by mantras, tantras, was ready. Shalva, who was also a king, was his chariot driver on this day and said, Karna, as we ride to the battleground, I want to tell you a story. All right, said Karna, I'm ready. We don't have much time. Hurry up with your story. Karna, there was once a crow who lived nearby the house of a merchant. The sons of the merchant fed this crow creamy cake, juices, and good ghee sabjis. And the crow became very weighty and very big, and soon thought, I'm the best of crows. I'm the Paki Raj. Paki means crow. And what means crow? Kaka, huh? Kova. I'm the king. No, he said actually, I'm the king of the birds. Yes, said Karna, continue. Yes, I wanted to continue. One day it happened that swans, they're called the Rajahansas, the king swans, came from Manasarova, that's the lake nearby Mountain Kailash, and flew over this place where the arrogant crow lived. And the crow said, my dear swans, I challenge you for a flying combat. The swans laughed. Anyways, my dear crow, thank you for your good humor. We will make a little pause, because then we will fly over the vast ocean and go back to Mountain Kailash. This crow lived, I forgot to tell you, next to the merchant's house, which was directly built on the side of the ocean. So the crow started to fly in many novel ways. It went up, then it went half down, then it went parallel to the land, then it made a salto mortale, And then it was flying also in a way which resembled backward flying. And all the other crows applauded. You are our king. You are the Pakiraj, the king of all birds. Praised be your name. The swans were laughing. And they said, my dear crow, you are the king of all birds. But we only know to fly in one way. We will continue our flying now. And they started to fly. And as they were flying, they increased in velocity. Velocity means speed. And the crow started to follow them. Wait, wait, wait. Oh, this is not for you. This is now, we are now over the ocean. You know that the storm started. The crow lost some of his feathers. Wait, wait, wait. And the distance became further, further and further. The crow saw the ocean water. The crow lost all its vigor and strength after some time and started to fly down. It began to touch the waves. Oh, I'm lost, I'm lost. Help me, help me, help me. One of the swans, who was very merciful, looked back and saw that the crow had come into serious difficulties of losing its very life. So he came back. Took him a kilometer to come back. It was so fast. And he came to the crow, who at this moment fell into the ocean. And the swan said, is this your climax in your flying style? No, 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 no. I'm not good in flying. I'm just drowning. Please save me, save me. Ah, okay. So the swan took Brother Crow, put him on the back, and flew back to the land and put him on the land and said, never forget who you are. You are a crow, not a swan. What does this have to do with me? Asked Kana. Shalva said, you are also a crow. You live on the food of this sinful Duryodhana. This is how you have become strong. And now you dare to go into battle with Arjuna, who's the best of all devotees, who's dear to the personality of Godhead. Kana, don't forget who you are. Kara said, this you are telling me on my most important battle day. I would engage in battle with you right now if I wouldn't need you to drive my chariot, Shalva. We see each other afterwards. He was proud. And there's a rule. When you become proud, my dear devotees, you become blind of the reality. And a blind man has lost already when he puts his first step out of the door. Also a blind woman. Hare Krishna. So my dear devotees, please learn the culture of respect. And if you learn this, then you will certainly become very, very empowered. Now many devotees say, Maharaj, one moment, I will Yes. Maharaj, okay, if we are respectful, this was your point, and go in a lower position, we can get from everyone blessings. Mm-hmm. But, you know, humility is very difficult to do, especially when we are criticized. On our way to this wonderful kingdom of God, this temple, we discussed this with Nrisinghananda and his good wife Madri. At that time, I said that in the Mahabharata, there's a very interesting verses about tolerance and forgiveness, although it is not easy. And I didn't know that I had the verses with me in this notes, and I want to read to you something which will encourage you to be respectful, to be tolerant, and to be forgiving, even if it is challenged. One who remains tolerant and not becomes angry certainly attains the abuser's pious credits. Indeed, his own sins are transferred to that wrathful person. Let me explain it in simple language. If someone, just an unqualified person, comes to you and starts to criticize you, you are a Hare Krishna. This means you have escaped the world of responsibility. And abuses. You should not get back. And now I will really tell him what nasty things I can say. I will just level him on the ground. And you are... Hare Krishna. This was an empty space. I don't want to say now bad words, you know. If you tolerate a little bit this critic, whatever pious Sukritis are with this person who criticizes you, they will go to you, and vice versa. Whatever sinful results you have, whatever is dark in you, will go to the person. And we all know this. My dear devotees, haven't we sometimes criticized? How do you feel afterwards? This is very miserable. See him. And he thinks this about him. And we criticize and talk. Or our movement. Oh, there's so many bad things in ISKCON. Oh, well, tell me. No, yes. After all, after this criticizing session, the energy level is absolutely low. You feel like jumping out of the 14th story of a skyscraper building. You just feel so discouraged. Nothing is good any longer except me. And then you, after some time, you think, well, maybe that's also not entirely true. You know, everything is bad. Everything stinks. Yes, you feel like this. This is what happens by this criticism. No one has ever gotten anything positive by just criticizing what is not good. Hare Krishna, you have to go. We are very sorry to lose your opportunity. But thank you for coming anyways. Hare Krishna. Am I getting too long? I'm just starting. I have not even started. But I will come to the end. Don't worry. But this is important because no one knows this. Vidura says to Dhritarashtra, the ignorant people always want to hurt the wise by malice and backbiting. But by doing so, means by criticizing others, the critic takes upon himself the load of the wise man's bad karma. The bad karma is cast off, means thrown away, by the wise man by forgiving the ignorant. Do you understand? When you have something bad, you know, and we all have done something bad, if we are able to forgive others for their sins and for their critics, then whatever we have done bad leaves us. And the critics jumps on it and takes it all upon himself. No one knows this. My dear devotees, I have been often criticized, for instance, for giving too long lectures. Hare Krishna. What to do when the enthusiasm strikes? And I have forgiven my critics. Actually, no, I can't continue this line of thought. My example was not very bad, because it's about myself, you know. So, but next time when you are in a situation where just someone criticizes you, don't immediately run to the national weaponry arsenal and get the most powerful atom bombs of counter-critics and then defend yourself like anything. No, just be tolerant. If you are tolerant at that time and you tolerate dishonor, then your agitation will go away. You will happily sleep, happily wake up, and happily move about in this life. The person who has insulted you, however, because of his sin, will become regretful and his happiness will go away. It will just go away. So, this was from the Manu Sanghita. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would live by these principles. Once he was on a lecture tour, and there was one person who traveled behind him and who would always criticize him at the end of the lecture. He would say, "This sadhu is a sadhu in name only, not in substance." Every lecture he would do this. And you know, the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted to almost do some harm to the person. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur forbade them and said, "No, he who criticizes me is my friend." And when finally this person who was just out to disturb received, died, it was a natural death, then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur cried tears of desperation. My friend has died. Because someone who criticizes you takes your karma. Hare Krishna. You're laughing at this, but this is a serious point. Usually we defend ourselves and we totally miss the point. And even how do you feel after you have defended yourself? Very well? No, you feel miserable. Oh, I'm such a small-minded person. I can't even tolerate a little pinching. What will I do when the big pinching comes? Huh? You feel just, it's beneath you. Beneath you. Do we say this in English? It's dishonorable. So therefore, my dear devotees, if you want to receive blessings, my dear devotees, what do you want? Do you want to be right or do you want to have blessings? Oh, you have said it so you have not given it enough thoughts. This was a very, very heavy statement which you just made. Normally we all want to be, my rights, my right, my right, you didn't understand, my right, and so on. Obviously there are situations when someone crosses our path and something must be corrected on the social platform. Let us not talk about this. This everyone knows. We know that we learn this in school. It's not that we have to hear a spiritual talk about this. No, I want to open your eyes to the wonderful blessings which come upon you when you practice a little humility. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur sings in Gita Mala, if you desire to engage in Krishna consciousness and chant Krishna's names, do everything you can do to gain the qualifications necessary to do so. If you want to be a devotee, do everything which it takes. An ordinary waiter in a restaurant is so tolerant because he wants to get a, I think the English word is a tip. The person in the restaurant, sometimes they're very cruel. They say, you fool! And the waiter said, that's correct, dear sir. And at the end he comes, how did you like the serving? And the person who is by now no longer serving says, I'm very pleased. Here you have $20. They do everything. Can't we do a little bit austerity to give respect, to get the blessings to chant Hare Krishna, my dear devotees? Is it so difficult? Give up false ego, Hare Krishna, and think of yourself as very lowly and wretched, more insignificant than grass. Practice the virtue of tolerance by following the trees. Give up revenge and look after other creatures. Do not give distress to any other being in order to maintain your body. Forget your own selfishness by serving others. Bhakti Vinod cries at the Lord's lotus feet, when, oh when, will you make me qualified to chant the holy name? So, respect is given in many ways, and I will end now with some practical tips. You can give respect according to the position of the living entity. Obviously, you wouldn't pay a full dandavat pranam to the lion in the zoo. You would respect his strengths and his ferocious roaring. Wow, this is very good. And you know, you would so on. But you would not tease him. You would know he has a vibhuti that is, he's empowered by the Lord to be the lion. But when you come to spiritual people, you should use your, or the Lord, you should use your offer, your body to offer obeisances. You should use your words to offer respect and not demand respect. And you should use your mind by thinking about your own deficiencies and seeing the good in others. This is how you will be respectful. Thinking, I'm journeying the path of self-realization. I'm still not perfect. And you should see the good in others. In ordinary dealings, you might like to fold your hands when you see someone like your father and mother. I'm just talking now of an Indian context. You might use kind words to greet father and mothers, even if your father is a little irritable by nature as he gets older and the vata element increases. This is what happens in old age. I'm also in this category. You know, that's a little irritable. Still, we offer respect. Yes, Pitaji. Yes, Mataji. You can offer respect to others by just people who are on your level, by listening to them, by offer them friendly service, friendliness. You know, everyone needs a shoulder to lean on. And then finally, when you come to Vaishnavas, you can give them presents. Like, I received this extremely qualified lamb wool pullover against the winter of South Africa. This is the most valuable thing on me at the moment. Yes? You should offer some gifts and receive gifts. You should offer some spiritual counsel and listen to the person revealing his mind and learning from him. And you should do something which we will do in a few minutes. Offer prasadam and receive prasadam. This is a culture of respect. Enter this culture of respect. Try to see where you are deficient or a newcomer to the culture of respect. Because if you can learn to offer respect appropriately, that is according to the position of the other person, you can obtain the blessings. My dear devotees, I didn't know this. In our German culture, when I became a devotee, my parents were very worried for me. I did become disinherited because my family said, we didn't earn all these millions and billions so that you give them away to the poor people or to your devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement. If you become a devotee, that was their way of exerting pressure for what they thought was best, we will disinherit you. I said, I have millions in Krishna consciousness, in coins of Krishna consciousness. I want to become a millionaire in coins of love. I don't care. But we parted in angry mood. Then my mother found out through different sources, I think in the TV, that I had become a sannyasi, and he looked in the dictionary what that meant, and she found out no grandson or granddaughter from me. I have two other brothers. They have everything. So mother became doubly angry because I was the cherished, I was the middle son, and mother is always like the middle son. We had three brothers and I'm the middle one. So mother was very angry and there was a tense vibration between us. Then finally I decided this can't go on. I must get the blessings of my parents somehow or other. And very humbly, which is very difficult for me, I came to the home and said, forgive me, I must have hurt you very much. Yes, so much. You had such high expectations in me that I would become like you. Yes, and more. Sorry, what to do? But my heart has told me to do like this. I cannot live any other way. My heart is just only satisfied in this. Krishna consciousness. Oh, really? and then I said, do you know why I came? No, why? You want to have money? No. No need. I want to have your blessings for this spiritual path. What is this? Said my father. How to give blessings to someone? No, you go in your heart, I said, and you wish me all the best. It's not an easy path. Son, we have to talk more about this. And we did, and I have the blessings. It took some time, and I found out it was necessary even for me to get this. I found this out. It's very important. A little blessing and then it goes just easy. They can't give me blessings to obtain pure love of Godhead, because that is not within their possession. But some well-wishing years go in this path and so on. Hare Krishna. It's something you should think about. Something you must think about. Blessings are very important. But now I don't wish that all of you write complicated letters to your everyone. What's going wrong on now? Think about this. My main point is the culture of respect brings upon you blessings. Just like a cup which is placed properly obtains water. In the same way, when you obtain blessings, you obtain very, very high results in Krishna consciousness. Impossible things become possible instantaneously. I have often stood before mountains of obstacles which I couldn't climb. And I've just started to pray. And then the next day, there was no mountain. I thought, was the mountain an illusion? Was there some too much sweets maybe? And I was slightly intoxicated. And I asked others, no, this obstacle has disappeared. Especially by praying to the deities. My dear devotees, you can get all the blessings which you want from Gonitai. Hare Krishna! There's nothing impossible for the devotee who obtains the blessings. Nothing. Blessings from your spiritual master. My dear devotees, this is so powerful. You cannot imagine what will happen if you sincerely come and say, I am a limited soul, a conditioned soul. But I require your blessings. Don't always say it so much merchant-like, you know, I want your blessings, huh? Just pray. The main thing is you have to go in a humble state of mind. Radhanath Maharaj tells one story that there was one devotee who wanted to get the blessings of another devotee by touching his feet and then putting the dust against the forehead. So this devotee did not want this. He felt awkward. He felt, this is wrong. You know, I'm not such a big devotee. But the devotee who wanted to collect the blessings started to use physical strength to obtain it. And finally, when he was not successful, he jumped at the devotee. The devotee's ankle, you know, how is it? Sprained. Yeah, it's sprained. And the devotee fell down, and later he needed to go and get one. How do we call this? Gips? Cast, yes. Do you think the devotee who was wanting to get the blessings was successful in his project? No, he had done a Vaishnava apparat. He had maybe not broken, but this is painful enough. Sprained the foot. Because he didn't know how to obtain blessings. You must come in a humble state of mind. And then the devotee's heart will open towards you, and some energy of his, in Serbian we say milost, some, you know, kindness will flow your way. That's how we, when we want to get blessings from our spiritual master, we do humble menial servant, and then the spiritual master will say, you have served me so nice. He will feel like this. And then his heart opens, and then it comes. The golden, beautiful energy of blessings. It's not something which you can get by trickery, you know, or by getting a gun, you know, give me your blessings. It comes only by really coming into this humble service mood. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, do everything which is necessary to cultivate humility. Need some cultivation. So, Hare Krishna, while I'm lecturing, I'm seeing this cruel clock up there, which just races totally irresponsibly away, which gives totally the wrong time. It is a very subjective clock. It wants to eat prasadam and therefore it goes fast. It is not telling objective time. Nishingananda, this must be changed, this clock. I don't know why I'm here in Linesia. I'm in a very joyful spirit. So I believe what I will do with your... What should we do? What do you feel about this? I would suggest the following. Because some devotees have to leave. Maybe we do this. We just have the kirtan now. Then we have... please help me. Kirtan. And then we have the slide presentation. Is it... No. And then prasadam. And then afterwards the question and answer. Please help me. We are now, this is no longer, I'm no longer talking a lecture. I'm seeking help now. This is an entirely different situation. Nishingananda, you are intelligent. Tell us, what should we do? Yeah. Is it all right if I really give very brief answers? Very brief. My time. Oh, I'm starting already to sweat. So, listen very carefully. Concentration. Hare Krishna. How should one respect a senior if one can humbly detect a prominent fault in the senior or the authority, especially if one wants to deal with this in a humble state? Yes, there's a good and very practical answer. It does happen that we see something which appears to be a prominent fault. At that time, we should go to a person who is that senior's authority, and we should say, my dear so-and-so, I perceive here a prominent mistake, and we should explain. And we should say, you are his authority, he will most probably listen to you. Please decide if what I see is correct. And then when you find it is correct, and it is not just my... let me say, subjective perception, please do something to help the situation. This is both in good Vaishnav etiquette, because there may be, and it also works. Because when a person, see, each one of us has a blind spot. We sometimes don't see our mistakes so clear. Others can see maybe clearer. But when you come and go to the person, my dear person, I have seen your blind spot. He says, no, I can't see it. You see it wrong. So, because we are willing to listen very easily from superiors, therefore superiors can fold out the blind spots of the devotees who have taken shelter. This is the thankless task of gurus, by the way. They have to help their dependents in seeing where their obstacles are. And you have to tell them, here is room for improvement. It's thankless because very often even the disciple or pupil cannot understand, even if he is told, because it's his blind spot. So then one has to pray that Krishna arranges a situation where it will become clear. Similar to question one, how do we learn to respect a senior who blatantly does not respect you, even to a small degree? They just want to control situations. Again, I would say, take the counsel of superior devotees to that person who is in your mind, discuss the situation and come to a situation where either the superior person, I mean now the superior person who is superior to the person you have in mind, corrects you and says, I think there's also something you need to learn here, or that the situation is taken care of from that side in an effective way. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for coming to South Africa. How personal you are. Yeah. Maharaj, I want to know, what do you do if someone in a serious position disrespects your spiritual master? Does this senior person still deserve your respect even though they blaspheme your spiritual master? Oh, Krishna, these are all I mean, if I put my barometer up, I think there are some devotees who have someone in mind. I would say deal with this amongst senior devotees. See, at this moment I don't want to get into local politics. No, I wouldn't say local politics. Local grievances. I'm sorry, I used the wrong word. Because it sometimes happens, as we have learned in our seminar, that someone who goes higher in his spiritual advancement, he's confronted with the same things which he was confronted with in an earlier part of his advancement. As we grow up in spiritual life, it does happen that again the tendency to enjoy and control manifests their ugly heads and we don't even see them. That may happen, so there may be something which needs to be corrected. But please do this under senior guidance, because then it will be handled maturely. And second of all, we have to sometimes bear with these senior people. They carry so much, and we have to thank them for the load which they carry, and it must be dealt in a mature way. And second of all, they will listen most properly to higher authorities. Huh? Hare Krishna, thank you for presenting this topic. As important as it is to get blessings, how appropriate is it to ask for blessings which are somewhat material? How do you pray to the Lord on something like this? My dear devotees, I would answer this question like this. This devotee is concerned about material blessings. Now, of 1,000 lectures which you hear in our movement, 750 will mention don't ask for material blessings. I think we know this point by now, and we know the reasonings for this point. We want jewels, we don't want glass. When we stand before God, we want the real things, Krishna Bhakti, and not just the relief from a common cold. And anyways, in this world, there always will be a common cold. And that's what the world is, or this grievance, or that grievance, or that. So you know the rationale behind this, why we want bhakti, because we know it's the highest, and why don't we waste it. There is, however, an interesting discussion which I would bring to your attention. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, what if a devotee is in a greatly dangerous position in life, and then he has no one else to take shelter of than Krishna, and asked him for material blessings? Imagine devotees drive in a car, and all of a sudden this car is in the most dangerous situations. What will these devotees do? They will say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. And in their minds will be, Krishna, please save us. It hurts so much to die. You know, is the devotee who now turns in a dangerous situation, or who prays for the benefit of relatives, is he now no longer a devotee? Has he become a materialist? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur answers this question by saying, no, he is a devotee. But he is like a helpless child who has no one else than his parents to turn to. It's all right. Now don't please take this loophole to now, okay, finally, Swan Maharaj said, Yebo. Finally, we heard what we needed to hear. No. It is in extraordinary situations where you just can't help, you know, where the misery quota is beyond your level of tolerance, you know. Where you have some pain, you say, it's not all right, my Lord, I know, but with this tooth pain, I just jump out of the window if this continues. You know, it's not in blackmailing the Lord, but you know. But if it is like this, have you had such tooth pain? Not. Blessed be your life. Let us not talk about the dentist at this stage. So. Haribol says, this is the fifth question, we are almost through. Is it true that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful incarnation of Krishna? But some devotees say Nityananda is the most merciful. Hare Krishna. Nitai, Nitai, Nitai. Nityananda is most merciful. Why? Because he is drunken with prema. And a drunken man gives totally without consideration. Nityananda always laughs like a little child. Sometimes he dances, and in his dance he uses his clothes. as the devotees look on his beautiful body, he giggles like a child, totally innocent. If a child is without clothes, no problem. Nityananda is going from house to house and laughs and begs, "I wish you to take Krishna Prema." It laughs. Sometimes he rides on a bull. Sometimes, in great pleasure, he runs to the Ganges during the monsoon time, dives into the swirling waves of Mother Ganga, and begins to chase laughingly after the crocodiles. "Haribol!" he chants at this time. Yes! So, this is how merciful, and he does not consider. When Jagai and Madai were there, and Madai had just hit Nityananda and drew blood, Lord Nityananda, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with his Sudarshan Chakra to kill the offender, but Nityananda stopped him and said, "You have come to give mercy. This is not the age to kill demons." So, Nityananda is like this because he's so full with bliss, and you know, he's like an intoxicated person. Have you ever met an intoxicated person? You know, when he is in good moods. You know, once on book distribution, we met one, and he said, "Please take this book. It is good. After, you will enjoy it after 10 hours. "Oh," said the person, "very, very nice, very nice. What do you get for this?" "It's a little donation. Most people give around 5 euros. 5 euros? Only 5 euros? "Young man, you have not come to a poor person. Take 50. "Oh, we also have this amazing cookbook." "Oh, good. I take it. Take 100. This was already 150. Then the person wanted to give more. "You are so nice and your smile is sublime. Take another 200. Then this devotee to whom this happened said, "Thank you very much, but maybe afterwards, it's enough, you know, just..." No, "take 500. You know, he's in bliss, you know, and he's drunken. So Lord Nityananda is like this, you know, he is in bliss and he is drunken with Krishna Prema. So, no consideration. When one hears that a certain respectful devotee, oh again, has apparently said something negative, should we believe this and withdraw our respect even though we have no proof? Is it apparat to form conclusions about senior devotees with no accurate proof? My dear devotees, there is something in Manu Sanghita which you should learn, that it is very difficult to ascertain the truth in Kali Yuga, and therefore we go to 6 Brahmanas and hear their counsel, and the truth hides in the counsel of 6 Brahmanas. It sounds immediately correct, isn't it? So, when there is something you are uncertain about, especially when it comes to negativity, then go to other brahmanas, talk with them, but not in a support-seeking way. You say, "I have observed this, what do you think?" And then it helps. By the way, Prabhupada always said this in India when you asked directions. He said, go to a minimum of 6 people. You know, he even used this technique of going because the truth hides in Kali Yuga in this council of 6 Brahmanas. Thank you very much for your very kind listening. I was very, very happy to be in your good-natured association. I really would like to make a very deep statement at the end. Please, my dear devotees, don't take this lesson as something which is like so many lessons which we hear it, and yes, there was here a point, there a point. Please do think now how you could apply this lesson in your own life, how you can enter the culture of humility and the culture of seeking blessings. It's a tremendous power which can move you ahead in a very, very significant way in your life. Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.